Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is KRXA 540. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we've made some technical adjustments in our studio here this afternoon to welcome the Registrar of Voters for Monterey County, Tony Anchundo, who joins us. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Peter B.
And you brought in a Sequoia electronic voting machine. It's right here in our studio.
Yes, this is a new era in voting in Monterey County, and so what we have here in front of us is a DRE voting system, direct recording electronics, commonly referred to as touchscreen voting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's one of these babies cost?
Well, the actual device with the VeriVote printer estimated about $4,000.
Okay. And the VeriVote printer is something I think many of our listeners are interested in, Tony. We live in a world where many people react to the election results of 2000 and 2004, and they have deep suspicions about the honesty and integrity of our voting systems. And in particular, electronic machines, whether it's touchscreen or other types, that do not include some sort of a voter verifiable paper trail have caused great concern among voters and election advocates. Does that printer that you described produce a receipt that I come away with after I vote?
Well, first of all, I want to just assure the all your KRK listeners that this technology has been around for many years, but this is the first time that a voter verifiable paper report will appear to voters. They don't actually get a receipt. It's an opportunity for them to verify with the paper report that the votes that they voted were cast properly, and they could review it and then cast their ballot and you know, leave the polling place knowing that there's some integrity and honesty to the voting system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we'll come back to that issue for sure, and shortly we'll be joined by Brad Friedman, our friend from bradblog.com. But, Tony, first, could you walk me through a voter experience on this Sequoia machine?
Well, this is the first time that voters at the precinct level will have an opportunity to vote the DRE touch screen voting. In 1999, voters had the opportunity here in Monterey County to try this technology at our early voting locations. We had them in Del Monte Shopping Center, Northridge, and South County, North County. But this is the first time, again, that they'll have this opportunity to do it at the polling place. What we have to identify is, first, once a voter comes into their polling place, they have to be a registered voter, so they will assign the roster, determine eligibility, and at that point in time, then the poll worker will insert a voter card into the activation unit. The activation unit just tells that particular card that that this voter is eligible to vote. Mm-hmm. They will punch in a three a numeric code device. At that time, it's handed to the voter. Mm-hmm. The voter then goes ahead and inserts it into the voting device.
I'll do that in just a second. I want to describe the activator, which is a box about the size as of a PlayStation or an Xbox, and it features a display screen at the top, and there is an insert where this card that is a plastic digitally encodable card, the kind of thing you use at a hotel room. People are very familiar with these days, credit card size. And what you did is you inserted it, and based on the verification of my information, that I'm a registered voter, you then issue me this card, which enables me to go to the DRE machine itself. And now, if I can bring this microphone over a little closer, I'm going to insert this in the yellow slot here that is very obvious. I would not be confused. There's no other slot where I can accidentally insert it. And so I push it in, and now it's asking me whether I want English or Espanol, and I'll choose English. And now it's giving me a choice of candidates.
And, of course, this is a demonstration device, so some of the choices you have are from some of our elected officials from the past. But let me just back up.
I've always wanted to vote for John F. Kennedy. I was too young at the time.
Well, you know, I've always had a desire to vote for good old Abe Lincoln. But let me just step back a little bit, Peter. Mm-hmm. The activation device only the code that's placed inside is the precinct code. It does not identify the individual voter. So every voter will have the same activation code. Again, that represents the precinct, and that tells the voting device itself, the touchscreen device, what precinct this voter is in.
All right. So I am voting for John F. Kennedy for president.
And you can touch any portion of that voting section there. Now, what has happened is that you, in the President of the United States, you are allowed to only to vote for one. And mm-hmm. that's one of the features of this technology. It will not allow you to overvote. So you, I notice you tried voting for
Abe Lincoln
and Thomas Jefferson, but it won't allow you. But in the event you decide to change your mind, go ahead and press John Kennedy again.
Okay.
And then
that
frees it up.
That unselected that, so I could change to Abraham Lincoln.
Absolutely.
But once I select that, my other options are inactive.
They go away. So, again, that's one of the unique features. And because of the Help America Vote Act of 2002, and the problems that occurred in Florida in the 2000 presidential election, one of the mandates federally that Congress passed is that every voter has to be assured at the precinct level that they cannot overvote. It's called second chance voting. Again, this technology affords that.
Okay. So I'm going to skip over these other candidate categories and just go to the next screen here. And I'm not going to vote for state senate or county commissioner. And I'm going to skip the ballot measures here. And that, of course, does mirror some voter behavior.
Absolutely.
There are some voters who come out and only vote for president and don't vote for anything else.
And that's one of the beauties. You can undervote, but it will not allow you to overvote.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the summary, it shows, the red shows that there was no selection made. Mm-hmm. So in the event you decided, okay, I did want to vote for state senator, mm-hmm. you touch that section, and it takes you back to that portion of the ballot.
All right, I selected Cesar Chavez there.
Okay.
And then I go through the referenda again, and so we now have that vote reflected, but none of the other votes that I passed up have been changed.
And so you're there now at the point where you're satisfied with those selections. Just mm-hmm. follow the instructions.
Next, okay.
Now, at this point in time, you're going to touch where it says touch here, and then it'll allow you to see.
It says choice. Here, touch here to print and review a paper record of your ballot.
And then it asks you again.
It says, do I want to cast my ballot? Am I sure? And I'm ready. I say, yes, cast ballot.
And voila.
Now I hear a printer activated.
And now you review your choices on the print report.
Oh, I see. It's over here. Okay.
And it is, again, a report. It's not a receipt. Mm-hmm. The voter's not allowed to take that receipt. It's just there for you to review.
All right. So here at the time, at the polling place, and you know, it's fresh in my mind. I know who I just voted for. And in this case, the test, I only voted for president and for state senator. And it has accurately reflected those. And so I do have a chance here to make changes if I wanted to.
Yeah, if you're not satisfied with mm-hmm. those selections, you can go ahead and make the changes.
All right. At the risk of making this go too long, I'm going to go back and select United States Senator. The printer just put the word voided so on the ballot information that had been previously gathered. And now I'm going to vote for Dwight Eisenhower as United States Senator and go through the rest of the screens here. Touch here to print and review. And now to the left of my touch screen is where the printer is located. I press cast ballot, and it once again will generate a paper copy of the votes that I just made.
And if you're at this point satisfied with your choices, then you'll go ahead and cast your ballot.
And it just made a little zippy phone noise.
And that's
and now it says recording vote. It says vote recorded. And at the bottom of my, it's not my personal receipt, but of the printout, it says that the vote has been accepted.
That's correct. Now
the printer is scrolling forward to remove from view my voter information so that the next person who comes over will not be able to read it.
Okay, Peter, you have actually had an opportunity to do this before because, I mean, you sound like an expert.
I use optical scanners.
Very good. Very good.
That's the type of voting machine I've used. All right. Does that conclude? Oh, now we have the card. My voter card just popped out at the conclusion of that cycle.
That's
and
correct.
I give that back to the clerk?
That we will have a poll worker who will be responsible for recovering those cards. Now, let's say in the event we have a crowded polling place and the poll worker is just for some reason delayed in the response, the voter decides, well, I got this card. Let me see if I can try voting again while someone's not paying attention.
All right, I'll insert it here just for grins. It said, this voter card is not valid. Please ask for assistance. So if I try it again, does somebody come and escort me to jail?
At that point, the voting police will escort you to my office, and then I can't tell you on the radio what I'll do. So it clearly shows that the voter cannot vote a second card at that point,
mm-hmm.
and then the poll worker will come and assist and then have the card removed.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to remove the card, then we hit
Also, that right button. Now the card is locked in there because I made an unauthorized attempt.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And this device just will not be allowed to be used again until we...
I better get the hell out of here.
You're in trouble.
Okay. Now we're going to take a break and check traffic, and we'll return with Tony Anshundo. We're also going to be joined by Brad Friedman from thebradblog.com. He knows more about electronic voting than I do. We'll get him to review the demonstration you just heard, and then we'll ask some questions about how this all works. And is it hack-proof, either at this stage or at the tabulation stage? That's what we'll talk about next. And if you have a question or comment, you can join us right now at 899-KRXA. We're going to talk about electronic voting this hour. And if you have questions or comments, this is your perfect opportunity. Come forward now, 899-KRXA. That's 831-899-5792. You're listening to KRXA 540. And we'll continue in just a moment here on KRXA. We're trying to get our computer under control. All right, let's check traffic now. It's 519, and Metro Diane is on the case. Go ahead, Diane.
Well, we're going to start in Soledad, northbound 101 at Hudson Road. We have reports of a stalled vehicle in the center divide. Do watch out, though. It might be sticking out a little bit into the left-hand lane. In SoCal, Main Street at Porter Street, still reports of the traffic lights blinking on red. So CHP on scene directing traffic and definitely drive with caution throughout the area there. A little good news in Salinas, Old Stage Road north of Zabala Road. We had an earlier major injury accident, which has been cleared. So both lanes are now open, but crews are still on scene. This report is brought to you by Advil. It's no contest. Advil liquid gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol rapid release gels. Advil liquid gels, liquid fast, Advil strong. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's 520 now from KRXA 540. And we continue our conversation with the Registrar of Voters for Monterey County, Tony Anshundo, who's in the studio with us, along with this touchscreen voting machine that he brought in. We just completed a demonstration. I hope you had a chance to listen to that. And, Tony, we do have one complication. It appears that your electronic voting machine caused our main computer here to crash.
Well, I can take responsibility for many things, but I refuse to take responsibility for your computer crashing.
All right. We won't press charges.
Okay.
And Hal's here trying to fix it right now. Hal, let me know when you get it back under control. Now, Brad Friedman is our expert on electronic voting, and he has looked at these issues in some detail. And you can read his work at bradblog.com. Hello, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you, Peter and Tony?
Brad, how's it going?
Very well.
Good.
Now, what questions do you have just resulting from the demo that we just did on the air here?
Well, you know, I had a couple of questions from the demo and from what you guys had mentioned. First, Mr. Acindo, I was just curious, what type of system were you previously using prior to this?
Well, we had a data vote punch card, and as you know, the federal and state authorities decertified all punch cards throughout the nation. So we had a couple of choices. Last year we began phase one of the new voting system with an optical paper ballot, and then because of the necessity to comply with the HAVA federal mandate, we needed to get into this technology to assure that we can, again, comply with the issues and concerns with voting.
What were the federal mandates that required you to move from the optical scan to the DREs?
Well, we have a combination. The absentee voter will be voting an optical scan, and in our county we have almost half of our registered voters who vote absentee. In order to assure that voters at the precinct level do not overvote, this is one of the beauties of this technology. It won't allow them to do that overvote. In addition, there are certain ADA issues that have to be met. A voter has to have the opportunity by themselves and to vote a secret ballot. So someone who has a sight issue or is blind, this system also has an audio device that walks them through the voting process.
But my understanding, maybe you can clarify it, and VotersUnite.org has reported on this. They have a booklet called Myth Breakers. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of many of different publications. That one in particular, no, I'm not aware of.
Yeah, because they said that there really wasn't a need for a lot of folks who were using the optical scans and so forth to move ahead, that the HAVA does not mandate that you do that. So that's interesting, but I'm curious mostly as you guys were talking. Unfortunately, it's radio, so I couldn't see it, but you said there is a paper report printed with each vote. Now, is that a paper ballot?
No, that's a paper report. It's just a verifiable paper report that the voter is allowed to review before they make their final decision and cast the ballot. So it replicates what they had touched on the voting device.
And Brad, just to help you visualize it,
yeah.
As you're facing the touch screen, on the right-hand side is a wing that has instructions on how to use the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the companion to it on the left is this printer device with a window that allows you to see the paper. It's like a roll of receipts from a gas station or an ATM. It's about 3 inches wide, maybe 2.5. And it scrolls upward, and as I described, it first prints out the information, and it was consistent. It accurately portrayed the votes that I had made.
Right.
And it allows me to see that. And then I have the opportunity to recheck that. I can make a change, or I can just authorize it essentially to go to print.
And when you, I noticed that you voided one of those choices. Was that after you had printed the, after the ballot had, the paper record had originally been printed?
Correct.
And what happened to that voided paper?
It just rolled over. Where did it go, Tony? It rolled over into the back.
It just scrolled, as you mentioned, and it's on a spool, and it'll just stay there attached to it till the end of the evening, or in a case in a major election, if more than 200 votes are cast, then that would be
time to change the toilet paper
and put a new roll of toilet paper. Correct.
Yeah, and is that that voided? Well, you said it was marked voided. Was it marked over the ballot? It clearly voided on the actual votes themselves.
Well, the votes are stored on a cartridge, and that's inevitably will come to us on election night. But one of the things that Peter and I were talking about it, and some of the staff members, that you know, we are going to do an accountability. We are going to go through at the end of the evening and to assure that those paper reports coincide with the results for that particular precinct. So it's voided on the paper, but it's also voided on the cartridge.
But, I mean, is the word voided? Because I understand a problem with the Sequoia toilet paper rolls is that when they mark voided, that it's very difficult when you then go back to count them manually to determine the voided votes from the actual votes, because it keeps the voided votes right there with the actual votes.
Well, to your point, Brad, as I looked at it, and I'm not an election specialist, but the paper report was specific to my voting, and at the bottom of it, the word void was in large type, larger font than the regular type that reflected the voting report. But to be specific, it does not print over the printed results that I had previously put in there.
So if someone was manually counting off of that paper, there could be confusion as far as which ones were the voided votes and which ones were the legitimate votes?
Oh, absolutely. But one of the necessities of any new technology, regardless if it's for voting or for any industry, that there is a learning curve, and we're certainly going to have to spend some time. And other election officials.
I would offer, excuse me, Tony, that this is far less subjective than a hanging chat, or even a dimpled chat.
Sure.
Or but is it my nephew chat?
Right. Well, I guess the question, though, is, is it less subjective than a vote count? And it sounds like Mr. Chundo is suggesting that the vote count will actually be taken from the cartridge. So, in other words, when one votes and you see that result on that piece of paper, how does a voter or anyone else know that what is actually marked on the cartridge is the same as what's on the paper?
Well, how will the voter know? They won't know, obviously, at that time. There is obviously going to have to be some trust and faith in the elections official, and in this case, it's me. I wouldn't even think about rolling something of this nature out to the electorate unless I felt convinced. There's been a tremendous amount of time and energy testing, and yes, there's always going to be issues and concerns, but again, I believe there's enough checks and balances, and in the official canvas, after the election, that'll be an opportunity to assure that the integrity of the process has been upheld. And I'll tell you right now, and I'm telling all the KRKA listeners, KRXA listeners, that if there is a problem, if there is some concerns, and the integrity is not upheld, I'll be the first to come out and say, we're going to do this all over again.
When you say do it all over again, what do you mean? But re-vote?
Well, if we have to, I'll go and sue myself and go before a Superior Court judge and ask that we do the election again.
Well, let's say there is a discrepancy between the cartridge votes and the what's on the paper, and I'm not sure how you're going to audit them, but let's say however the audit is, a very good audit, or you do a complete hand recount and they don't match up. Which is the ballot of record, the paper or what's on the cartridge?
Well, again, if they don't match up, we obviously have an issue. And then at that point, I'll have to make an administrative decision. And I have no problem coming forward and saying that, I'm not convinced. I'm not satisfied with the integrity of the ballot count. But again, I would not even go forward with this technology unless it had been proven. And there have been weeks of logic and accuracy testing within our office in preparation for November 8th election.
Now, Tony, could you just give me a brief demonstration? Can you show me where the cartridge is, and if it's removable, can you pull it out?
The cartridge is behind the screen itself, and we have a seal on it, so I'd have to break the seal at this point in time.
Is it a standard component like a zip disk?
It's similar to a zip disk.
But is it proprietary so that I could not substitute a zip disk for that?
Absolutely. It is proprietary software, and so if you attempted to put another type of disk inside, it obviously wouldn't read it.
All right, Brad, hang on. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I think if we're in sync here, I want to move to the tabulation phase and talk about how the votes that are collected on this cartridge are then transferred into the computers that make the final tally and produce the vote count. Is that cool with you?
Fine with me. I had some other questions on that other stuff, but I'll go with you.
We'll come back and deal with those before we move on to tabulation, okay?
All right.
That's coming up next here on KRXA. I'm Peter B. Collins. In the studio with me is the Registrar of Voters for Monterey County, Tony Anchundo. On the line is Brad from bradblog.com, and you can get on the line, too. We'll take your calls in the next segment, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. Accents Windows and Wall in Carmel reminds all women, thinking that you're too young to be concerned about breast cancer can be dangerous thinking. 1/5 of all breast cancers are diagnosed in women under 50. Know the risk factors, but keep in mind, no one is risk-free, and a simple test can save a life. This message is sponsored by Accents Windows and Wall in Carmel. For the highest quality and service, call 626-9054. That's 626-9054 for all your custom window treatments.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other heavy hitters. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. And if it's handcrafted beer or even goat's milk, and it's good, we'll talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet.
This is Matt
and Annette
from The Naked Ape,
a new show launching on KRXA Sundays from 12 to 2 p.m.
Despite our title, we'll be clothed, coherent, and we'll try not to throw too much feces at each other when we disagree.
Instead, The Naked Ape will focus on the evolving thoughts and actions of our generation.
We'll take a younger look at the current political atmosphere and how it's shaping the world we're inheriting.
We're going to play great music, bring fresh voices to talk radio, and pander to your stereotypical short attention span.
Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays from noon to 2 on KRXA 540.
You're listening to KRXA 540. November 8th is the special election in California. And we're talking about the techniques that are going to be used here in Monterey County, the new DRE machines. These are electronic touchscreen voting machines with a paper report that is visible to the voter. The voter does not leave the polling place with a printed receipt, but it does provide verification on the scene at the time of voting for the voter, him or herself, to evaluate whether the machine properly captured the intended votes. Our guest is Tony Anchundo. He's the Monterey Registrar of Voters for the whole county. And Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is on the line with us. Brad, I wanted to let you ask the rest of your questions about the voting machine itself, and then we'll talk about tabulating and the hackability of that phase of the voting process.
First, by the way, I want to thank Mr. Chindo for coming out and being willing to talk about this and answer these questions. It's obviously very important that the voters, have confidence in the vote. It's the most important part of democracy, and that brings me to a question. You suggest that we should trust you, that everything is okay here, and that you'll make a decision. I guess there's nothing in law about whether it's the cartridge count or the paper count, which becomes the ballot of record. But I'm concerned about faith-based voting.
Let me just jump in, yeah. Brad. You basically are implying that you prefer the paper record, that that's a tangible item that cannot be changed through remote access by computer, for example.
And also the paper is what is actually validated by the voter, and Mr. Chundo suggests that the what's written to the memory cartridge is the same as what's on the paper, but admits that there's really no way that the voter knows that. So I'm not sure how we will know that our vote is to be counted accurately at all.
Well, again, and believe me, I've heard these questions and concerns over the years, and when we first rolled this voting system out in 1999, we certainly didn't have the same number of people out there that had similar concerns. But I believe, and as I mentioned earlier, the trust and faith in the elections official is important, but this technology would not be available at any level unless both the federal and state authorities provided that type of support. So, again, it's just not my trust and faith that you have that they've gone through stringent tests to assure the integrity. And I would not have even come close to using this type of system unless I had used it before. But we do have that voter verifiable paper receipt, and I will have an opportunity to go through each and every precinct to assure that what's comes out on the tabulation supports the same record that comes out on that report that the voters get to see when they cast their ballots.
Well, in regard to you say that the federal authorities have approved this system. You are familiar with the nonpartisan GAO report that came out on Friday?
I'm familiar with all the reports that pretty much have come out concerning DRE voting.
Right. On Friday, the GAO put out a 107-page report saying that, in fact, confirming those of us who have security concerns about these machines, and they confirmed that, in fact, votes were lost and miscounted in the last election, that there was problems with all of these machines. And in fact, Sequoia itself, whose machines you're using, is currently facing a lawsuit in Snohomish County, Washington, concerning exactly some of the things that we're talking about. So I think you're a good guy. I have no reason to are you guys partisan officials or nonpartisan officials?
We're nonpartisan. I'm not an elected official like in some other counties. I'm appointed by a county administrative officer.
Is the county administrative officer
it's a nonpartisan office also.
Yeah, in California, they're nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan. Well, that's good to know. But, you know, surely I'm sure you could understand that some people, I don't have any problem trusting you, but some folks might be concerned that a voting system that relies on your good faith here with machines that have been proven to cause problems all over the country is not a great way to run an election, and people have a good reason to be concerned, and even you suggest that the paper, the recount, if there is one, you know, there's no rules in place for whether it's the paper or the
Tom Hartman and George.
Thanks, Tom. Oh. Go ahead. Tom just jumped in there. I think we're blaming the voting machine.
Well,
for that.
He's got some opinions about voting machines too. But so, as I said, you admitted that there was no rule, I guess, or law in place about whose count wins if there is any discrepancy. And I'm wondering what type of discrepancy would cause a full hand recount of those toilet paper rolls.
Yeah, what level would the discrepancies have to rise to, Tony?
Well, first of all, the California Election Code provides if, in the event there's any tampering, if there's misconduct at a polling place, if anyone in the elections department has undermined the integrity, then immediately there can be a contest or a recount filed. So it certainly doesn't have to come from me. If there is something that has occurred in the elections process, that would certainly generate some opportunity for a contest. But again, you know, I've been in elections for 31 plus years, and there's always the possibility that there can be issues, even with paper. So, you know, paper is not by far the most error-proof. There is, of course, an audit trail, but I have seen many things happen. Again, what happened in Florida in 2000, and that happened probably in every state throughout the nation at some point in time. So paper's not 100% either.
Well, nothing is 100%, but you said it's not the most fail-proof. I'd be curious what is more fail-proof than paper. But
well, what happens if you lose, if on the way after the polls have closed and you have your poll workers, and this has actually happened, where the poll worker sets their paper ballots on the roof of their car as they're putting their supplies in, forgets that the ballots are on the roof, takes off, and has no ballots.
They were
lost. They were just scattered all over the street. I mean,
a couple of elections ago, there were boxes of ballots in San Francisco that fell off a pier into the bay.
Well, indeed, chain of custody is very important, but he said that there was something that was more less foolproof than paper, and I'm not sure what it is. But in the event of a recount, whether there is, you said if there was malfeasance, that might trigger a recount. But again, in that recount, the question becomes, is it the paper for is the electronics that are going to be used as the final arbiter, and it sounds like Monterey County, at least, does not have any laws in place to determine that. Is that correct?
Well, the law is not Monterey County. It's a state law, and at this point in time, it would be a combination of recounting the results cartridge and then comparing it to the paper report that mirrors the results that's stored on the cartridge.
Okay, I understand that, but I'm just wondering if there's a discrepancy between those two. As you know, in Ohio, it was really only a matter of 6 votes different in each precinct in the state of Ohio had gone for Kerry instead of Bush. We would have a different president now. So I'm trying to figure out what will trigger a full hand count of the ballots, and if there is one and it is doesn't match from the machine count, again, what is the number that the voters can trust will be the actual vote that is counted?
Okay, well, that's a good question. And until it happens here in Monterey County, I don't have an answer.
It seems like it's something we should know beforehand, quite clearly.
I've already told you what we intend to do. It will be a combination of a verification of the results cartridge and the paper. And in the event those numbers don't mirror one another, and I'm not convinced, I will, you know, take whatever steps necessary, and I have no problem going to a judicial authority at that point in time. Again, you know, so many things can happen in elections, and I'm not just going to come up with a response that will satisfy individuals. There's a right way and a wrong way, and the right way is to do what's proper. And if it doesn't come out, I'll make it right.
I'm not looking to be satisfied. I'm really just looking for an answer. Do you have more confidence that the paper number would be, if let's say if it was off by 6 votes in a precinct, would you consider that the paper is correct, or would you consider that the machine count is correct, since apparently this is up to you to decide what is actually going to be the voter's choice in this matter?
Well, then we have a third backup. There's a redundancy. You have the results cartridge, it has a built-in CPU, and then we have the paper report. So we'll let the CPU give us, that'll be the third way to verify the results.
So you would go to what the computer says, not what the voter verified, correct?
Well, again, if we had 2 different results, then I'd let the CPU give us to see which one it mirrors, and whatever one it supports, that's the one I would go with.
Boy, okay.
All right. Brad, stay with us here. We want to take a call from Dave at the Pinnacles. Dave, welcome to KRXA this afternoon, and thanks for holding on.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, I have a question. I voted absentee for probably the last 30 years, and I'm just wondering, why is it that, what is the percentage of absentee voters in Monterey and California here, and why don't we just go to an all absentee system? And my second question is...
Well, hold on. Let's...
Off the air.
Oh, you're going to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my second question, why are we voting on the second Tuesday of November?
Well, let me answer the second question first. Elections are always held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday. So Tuesday is the first day of the month, and so therefore we have to wait till we have the first Monday. So that's the easy question. The second one, Monterey County is number 2 in the entire state of California with the total number of permanent absentee voters.
Right.
As you mentioned, absentee voting has become just the way of voting because of its convenience. Of the 160,000 registered voters, more than 80,000 are absentee voters. So you can see more than 50% of the electorate chooses to vote absentee. I'm a big advocate for absentee voting. It's, again, convenient and easy for people. But we also have traditionalists, and people are always going to want to go to a polling place. Someday it will be like Oregon, where it's all elections are done by mail. I don't see that happening in my lifetime.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Dave, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and check traffic here. Brad, you stay with us, and we'll be right back, and then we'll talk about any other issues and the tabulation phase of electronic voting here in Monterey County. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and in the studio with me is Tony Anshundo, who is the Registrar of Voters in Monterey County. And if you have a question or comment, you can get on the line right now at 899-KRXA. That's 831-899-KRXA. And I'm trying to make this work, and our computers have just gone weird today. That was supposed to be our traffic theme. Well, I'll just hum it for you. And we're going to check in with Diane at Metro Traffic as I hum the theme. Hey, Diane.
Start in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Highway 17 at the Lexington Reservoir. We have a solo vehicle hit the center divide there. And in Salinas, a little bit of good news. Old Stage Road north of Zabala Road, a major injury accident we had earlier has been cleared. Both of the lanes are now open, but crews are still on scene, so it might be a little slow in the area. And in Greenfield, northbound 101 before Elm Avenue, reports of a stalled vehicle is in the center divide, causing a little bit of a visual hazard, though, so definitely drive with caution. So CHP is en route for that. This report is brought to you by the Air National Guard, job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone just like you. Great training and college benefits available. Find out more at goang.com. That's goang.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. I'm Peter B. Collins. It's 546 now, and we'll take calls if you'd like to get a question asked or answered about electronic voting. Tony Anshundo in the studio with us. Brad from the Brad Blog is on the line, and we've been talking about the demonstration I got at the beginning of this hour of this new DRE machine. It's manufactured by Sequoia Voting Systems. And, Tony, did you have a choice of vendors? Because many of us on the outside of the election process have noted that both Sequoia and Diebold have executives who are tight with Republicans. And so we have a kind of knee-jerk reaction of, can we trust them?
Well, there's always going to be concerns or doubts about the people that support either the Republican Party or Democratic Party. One of the beauties of our nation is that we have that right to make those types of contributions. And there's always going to be someone out there who questions that. There are three or four primary players as far as vendors that are both federally and state certified. We chose to go with Sequoia Voting Systems because of the relationship we've had with Sequoia for almost 30 years here in Monterey County. Again, we use, although in limited capacity, this equipment back in 1999. We're satisfied with the support, the technology, and again, there are always going to be some questions or concerns, and you just have to make the best choice you think that's available. And it was certainly my choice. Got support from our Board of Supervisors, and I'm going to have to go forward with it. And again, if there's a problem down the road, then we'll have to deal with it as it arises. But I'm convinced this is the technology, this is where we want to go. And if we didn't have those pre-logic and accuracy testing involved, then I wouldn't feel as comfortable. I'm good to go, 2 weeks away, and I'm ready to have an election.
Mr. Rotundo, did any other companies submit bids for this contract, and would you be willing to release those logic and accuracy tests that you refer to?
I would have no problem with that. Another county, other vendors had come forward, and from the beginning, I pretty much decided to go to sole sourcing, and which is perfectly illegal for us to do in elections. And again, it was the satisfaction that this department had, and Sequoia was the only vendor at the point in time that had a federal and state certified voter paper report, and that was primarily the key for my decision.
You're aware that Sequoia is facing a lawsuit right now up in Washington?
Absolutely.
Okay, but you're not deterred by that at all?
Not at all.
All right, let me take a couple of calls, and then Brad will talk a little bit about the tabulation phase. Hal's on line one. Go ahead, Hal. You're on KRXA.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. A couple of questions, Tony. I spoke to you before you went on, and I really appreciate that. Who are the absentee ballots, when the results are announced, are the absentee ballots just folded right into the results of the machine count, or are they published separately? And are the absentee ballots always tabulated? And I have a follow-up question.
Okay, well, first of all, the absentee results are the first to be released at 8 p.m., obviously, because we had received thousands prior to the polls of the the time the polls are closed. And, of course, they are combined with the precinct results as the evening goes on. So, and we keep them separate. We have a separate report. Although you had a cumulative report, we still keep them separately. We have absentees and precinct results. And then, of course, post-election, where you have all the late absentees that are turned in at the polls or received too late to process, then as we do updates a few days after the elections up until certification, then we'll continue counting ballots until such time the final results are provided.
How are the absentee ballots tabulated?
Okay, the absentee ballots are tabulated via an optical scan paper ballot. So as voters receive their ballots, they mark their choices, send them back in. We go through a verification process to verify their signature against the signature on file on their voter registration card, and then they're read through an optical scan reader.
Are they? Is there any verification of the comparison of the optical scan read versus the hand count of the ballot?
Absolutely, we do what's required during the canvas: a manual tally, a certain percentage to verify those results.
And last question: do you all will you publish the comparison of the hand count of the machine tabulation as well as the machine count?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Okay,
thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Hal. And Dennis in Salinas, you're next on KRXA. Thanks for your call.
I just kind of with Brad. I think his trust is misplaced. I don't have much confidence in this faith-based voting, to tell you the truth. And I'm just registering my complaint already. This is the first I've heard of it. It's a good program. Is there any chance that the voting machines could be replaced by something else if...
Between now and Tuesday, November 8th?
Not now, before the next election.
Well, again, I think it would be premature for me to just go ahead and shelve this voting system until such time it proves me wrong. And again, I not to undermine the significance of the questions, but I would not have gone forward. I like my job too much. And one of the things I take tremendous pride in is to assuring that we're not going to allow voters to vote on a system unless there have been certification and there has been testing. And regardless of whatever system, and when there's a human factor involved, there's always that risk that something could go wrong. But I'm convinced at this point in time that the selection that has been made and the certification both on the federal and state level is enough for us to go forward.
But the federal report from the GAO said the certification was not, in fact, adequate. So that's a great concern. But perhaps you could let the listeners know, perhaps you could explain the audit process precisely that you had referred to so that we can know that, in fact, the votes match up with the paper. And as well, I'd love it if you could let us know, do these machines have hardware that would allow them to be networked either by modem or Ethernet or wirelessly?
No, let me answer the final question. No, they are not allowed to be hooked up to a computer or some type of network. They're a standalone. It's a proprietary software. So
there's no remote
network.
No remote access to them at all?
There's no remote access to them.
There's no modems in those machines?
No, there isn't.
Is there modems in the tabulator machine that you use?
No, there isn't.
And there's no Ethernet or wireless networking that's possible with those machines?
No, not with all the firewalls that exist. No, this is a standalone network. It's not even hooked up to our system. It's its own its own system that is unique to this vote tabulation system, and again, it's not networked to any system.
And will the cartridges be removed from the machines to be sent to your central office for tabulation, or will the whole machine be sent?
No, it would be a combination of removing the cartridge and returning it on election night, and then the units themselves being returned.
Okay, but physically, does the cartridge end up going to the central tabulation center, or does it get modemed in?
No, it comes to the central tabulation center in Salinas. So every location throughout the county, the cartridges are removed and returned individually to Salinas, where our central county location is.
Now, just about 3 minutes remaining, Brad. Let me just ask a couple of quick questions here. Talk about the security of your tabulation system, Tony.
Okay, first of all, the entire office has a security system. And then we have monitors, closed-circuit monitors throughout the office. The actual computer room has its own separate alarm system. Everything that is prepared within that computer room. All the tabulation, all the results cartridges will be brought into that particular location where the results will be tabulated and then released to the public.
Is that refers to the physical security, but you referred to firewalls. Is that to keep people from coming in across the network because you've got the firewalls in place?
Well, first of all, again, the entire system, the computers that generate the tabulation and establish the election parameters, is not connected to any system within the county or even the elections management system.
Or the Internet. So it doesn't even have a wireless networking card in that machine?
That's correct.
That's good to know.
Very good.
All right. Anything else on tabulation, Brian?
I'm concerned with that three-digit number you said that you put in. Is there anything that would keep a precinct worker, for example, from putting in a different number for a different precinct with that card?
If they attempt to put a different number, then it will come up saying that it's an incorrect number.
Okay, and you didn't get a chance to explain, I don't know if we have time, but very quickly perhaps, that audit process you discussed that you have in place to assure that the paper is the exact same number as the machine count.
Yeah, we've been going through extensive pre-logic and accuracy tests where we make predetermined choices on the touchscreen and then review them with the paper, and then we remove the results cartridge, read it to assure that those predetermined choices that were conducted on every voting device before it goes out matches up.
So I meant afterwards, is there any audit of the paper to match it against the machine?
Yes. In the post-election, the official canvas, as we refer to it, we will pull each and every one of those reports and verify it against the votes cast for that particular unit in that precinct.
You mean the reports? You mean the actual ballots that were printed out, that Peter saw printed out there?
That's correct.
You're going to count all of them?
You have it.
You're going to count all of them by hand?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're going to count all of the ballots by hand, and I only hope that if they don't match up, that the paper ends up being the ballot of record in this case.
Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate everything. And again, the questions and the responses may not have been to your satisfaction, but I think it's important that we do everything we can to ensure the integrity, and here in Monterey County, we're going to do just that.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. I have one final simple question. Are these machines able to be programmed for instant runoff voting if that is adopted here?
Well, it's not going to happen in Monterey County. You're going to have to go to San Francisco for instant runoff.
Right, but can the machine be modified if that became the case?
In fact, Sequoia recently was rewarded the contract for San Francisco because of their ability to do the instant runoff.
All right. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Peter, and thank you, Mr. Crescendo. Appreciate
That's
it.
That's Brad Friedman. You can read his work at bradblog.com. And Tony Enchundo, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to meet you, and have a great night on November the 8th.
Peter, thank you, and thank you, KRXA listeners.
All right. My pleasure.